All right, we're studying a topic called diseases of the heart. And it's those things that can be within us that are bad for us. God does not want that slide up. And God does not want, at least Dan doesn't want that slide up. God does not want those things in us because they're bad for us. We talked about envy and jealousy. We talked about pride and arrogance. And last week, ingratitude. We talked about living a life of thankfulness. Last week it was fear, wasn't it? Yeah, or 2 weeks ago it was fear. And we talked about that, like in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a commandment there to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Then we also looked at verses, for instance, Jesus said, do not fear. And so we kind of concluded that matter, that the Bible says to fear God, and if you're going to fear something, fear God. And don't have that fear that rises your anxiety level so much. And we talked about how fear operates, and we talked that usually it has to do with an unknown future, and that people have that rise of anxiety and of unknown future, and that it can really halt a person in their growth in Christ. It can also ruin their faith. It can ruin the progress of a congregation. If there's a congregation of fearful people, you wouldn't expect those people to be people that will give liberally, that they might hold back their monetary gains because they're afraid to let go. People that live in fear, you would not think that they would be a people that trust in Christ as much as they should, and that fear keeps them from growing as a Christian. And that kind of leads into our lesson tonight. Because what are we going to deal with tonight? The topic tonight, I either feel very inadequate in teaching, or I feel like an expert, one or the other. All right? Very inadequate, or an absolute expert, one or the other. Because we're going to take a look at anxiety, worry. And this is something that comes to us every day. There's something to worry about. There's something to be anxious about. It could be something that happens early in the morning, or something later on, or something in that evening, but it just comes to us. There might be something on your heart right now that's very worrisome. Maybe it has something to do with a relative, a friend, your job situation. But there could be something in your heart that's weighing you down this evening, and something that's worrisome. So tonight we're going to take a look at what God says about worry, and where we are in relationship to that, in relationship to God. If we don't have money, we worry. If we have money, we worry about where it goes. If we don't have a car, we worry. If we do have a car, we worry about it breaking down. For instance, I have a Honda Civic right now, and the clutch went out, and it's sitting in my front yard. Something to worry about. I can tell you yesterday I worried about it. Today I'm not so. It's still in the front yard. And the clutch is still out. Well, that's right. Pray, don't worry. So pray about my car, would you? Okay. So we need that car. There was an interesting program that I just came across. I believe it was on the Discovery Channel. And it was a study on anxiety. And it was a study on this man. I guess his grandma went along with it because he studied anxiety, and his grandmother was part of that study. And the study was that some people have a heightened level of anxiety, way up here. And some people have a very low level of anxiety. And that's just how they are. That's just how they live, day to day. And you probably know somebody. Maybe you're somebody that has that heightened level of anxiety. You're fidgety. You're constantly thinking. Maybe you can't go to sleep at night because of that heightened level of anxiety. And then there's other people that don't have that problem. And I tell you what, if you're somebody that has anxiety level down here, you don't understand the people down here at all. They are absolutely foreign to you. You might be married to somebody that has that anxiety level down here. And this man had this study going on, and part of the study was a ride on a roller coaster. And he wanted to study his reaction to the roller coaster ride and his grandmother's reaction to the roller coaster ride at the same time. And so they placed a camera facing them and took this roller coaster ride. Now, his grandma was known to have a heightened level of anxiety. He was known to be very low key in anxiety. And so they replayed the film, and there he was sitting next to his grandmother, and he is relatively calm, and it's one of the big ones. It's not a small roller coaster, it's a big one. Doing loopy loops and whatever roller coasters do, because I won't go on one. Well, anyway, they played the film back, and the look on her face was just pure terror. But it shows you how people have a heightened level of anxiety and a low. Were they on the same ride? At the same time? Were they doing the same thing? Absolutely. There wasn't any difference. I mean, they were just, you know, an inch away from each other, sitting in the roller coaster ride. But the perception of that roller coaster ride was completely different. And so his study, his conclusion about heightened level anxiety is this. People that have heightened level anxiety would even have a little bit of trouble stepping on a stool this far off the ground. People that have a heightened level anxiety are people that, if you're a soldier, would probably survive better in a battle than somebody that has a low level of anxiety. Somebody that has a high level of anxiety would probably survive better in a fight, some physical action, than somebody that has low-level anxiety. And so how we are, it might be circumstantial, it might be genetic, might be something that happened to us at some point in time, but something gives us a certain level of anxiety and how we look at things. So let's take a look at how God looks at it. One should never try to saw sawdust. I like that saying. People worry about things that have already happened. Go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. People worry about things that have already happened. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If you sin, you repent of that sin. Is that sin a part of you anymore? No. Of course not. That's why Jesus died. That sin is not part of us anymore. Have you ever or known anybody that sins and repents and still worries about it? I think it happens. Does God want us to worry about it? God wipes out that sin so much that it shouldn't be part of our life. And God doesn't want us to worry about it. We shouldn't have that heightened level of anxiety over that. And there's different kinds of worry. People worry about the inevitable. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. We have something in common, ladies and gentlemen, don't we? We're all going to pass away. There's not anybody here that can beat that. We all have that in common. Is it something to worry about? We worry about things that are just going to be. They're inevitable. There's nothing you can do to change that. Nothing. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. We also have something in common. We're all going to face the judge on Judgment Day. We have that in common. There's nobody here that can beat that. Death and the judgment. Is it something to worry about? It's something to be concerned about, isn't it? It's something that we need to do something about. But it's going to come. There's nothing to beat that fact. It's going to be there at some point in time. There will be the judgment. I like this one. People worry about things that will never happen. I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened. Mark Twain. Mark Twain admits to worrying. Have you worried about something that really never transpired? I have, boy. I worried about something. Maybe last month or something, and it just never came about. We worry about things that never come about. And how much time and energy do we put into that? How many hours of sleep do we lose at night? And then whatever happens, happens, and it probably doesn't have the outlook that you thought it would have anyway. And we lose a lot of energy, and we lose that trust that we should have in Christ. And we lose that ability to have that trust that a faithful Christian should have. And we lose sleep. And we turn I don't want to say angry, grumpy. You know, something's on your mind, it's constantly there. You turn into kind of a grumpy person. And it can change you, having that worry. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6.
Matthew chapter 6 and looking at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 32, it's unnecessary. Why is worry unnecessary? It doesn't help. God will take care of it. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of your life? Am I in charge of my life, or have I put myself in the hands of God? And if there's something that comes up, do I have to spend so much time worrying about it and lose so much sleep over it? If I actually do trust the Lord, if I put myself in the hands of God, it's unnecessary. Look at verse 25 and 31 and 34. Do not worry. God prohibits it. What does he say? Do not worry. And then, of course, Jesus is going on and he's giving an example of how God takes care of things like plants, birds. And then he asks, are we not more important than them? Are we more important than a sparrow? Yeah, we are. To God, we're more important than the rest of his creation. So worry is prohibited. Verse 27. Worry is futile. Wow. You could spend your whole evening, your whole night tonight worrying, and the Bible says it's futile. Now, I talked to someone that worked for the school district. He was a psychologist, and he said that a little bit of anxiety is healthy. A little bit of anxiety makes you do things correctly. For instance, what if you're at work and you have a presentation that you have to give, and you're either your product or maybe yourself, you're going to be judged on that presentation. Would somebody that just kind of lackadaisically talks and doesn't have things ready, I mean, that's not good, is it? A little bit of anxiety is going to make you do things. It's going to make you creative. It's going to make you on the ball, so to say. And therefore, just a little bit of anxiety is going to be good for you. But that anxiety that makes you lose sleep and worry all day and cause your personality to change, God doesn't want it. And the Bible says it's futile. Verse 32. People that are not God's people worry. And verse 30. It's a degree of faithlessness. Just flip over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm." Where were they? They were in the sea. What were they on? A boat? What came? Storm? In the lectureship, we learned that that area is prone to sudden storms. Storm came. Jesus was doing what when the storm came? He was asleep. Do you think Jesus was worrying about the storm? The apostles were. When he saw their anxiety and he's the one that calmed the sea down, he told them that they have little faith. Did the apostles at that time, do you think they were able to calm the sea? Probably not, huh? Christ, being deity, being God, was able to supernaturally fix nature, calm the sea at that time. The apostles didn't have power to do that. But yet Jesus said that they had little faith. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" What was happening in this time? Okay. We have someone that's going to try to walk on the water. He doesn't make it. And he starts to sink. Jesus is there to catch him. And then Jesus says, "You have little faith." So that anxiety level and that worry can bring a degree of faithlessness to us that we do not need to have as part of our walk in Christ at all. And so worry, it's unnecessary. Worry is futile. And we don't need it. But there are effects of worry. So let's take a look at those. Worry disregards the commandments of God. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing." Did I do that? I did that. Scott always points to me. Can I turn it on? It was on and off. Okay, my anxiety level has reached sky high. Just kidding. It's not that important, you're right. As long as I have my notes and you have your Bible, we're all set. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." The Philippian writer says, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't let that anxiety level rise. Don't let it interfere with your walk with God. Anxiety level still up. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Where is our hope supposed to be? In Jesus. If we have hope in something else, very possibly it's going to fall apart on us. The bottom might drop out. if I'm a faithful Christian, then I know the bottom's not going to drop out on me. Jesus is always going to be there. It's something I can depend on. Also this, the Bible is dependable. The Word of God is dependable. The Word of God isn't going to go anywhere. And I can be 100% close to it. I can be 100% assured that these are the words of God. And that assurance is what can build your faith. And that assurance is what keeps us from having that unbelievable worry or anxiety build upon us. Ephesians 5:16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. We waste our time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Worry is a waste. It's futile. It can waste your time. If somebody has a lot of worry and anxiety in them, are they going to be totally effective for the work of God? No, because they're going to be busy being anxious, busy with anxiety, busy with worry. It takes their mind away from the work of God. It might take their mind away from the special project that this congregation is involved in. It might take their mind away from giving monetarily for the work of God at this place. And so it's it can be a big waste of our time. There's a study from the University of Wisconsin, which I wish you could see at this time. The study from the University of Wisconsin goes like this, and I don't know any background of this study whatsoever. 40% of the things we spend 40% of our time worrying about things that will never happen. 30% of our time on past things that cannot be changed. 22% of our time over needless things. And 8% of our time over legitimate reasons. Study from the University of Wisconsin. What do you think? Any comment about that?
Sounds about right.
All right. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 15-20, it's talking about, Paul gives a question, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to the harlot is of one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one." Having a high degree of anxiety, a high degree of worry can really bring bad things in your life. It can open a doorway to really bad things in your life. Your spiritual health can go way down, plunge. Your physical health can be affected. From the medical world, someone who has a high level of anxiety and worry, it can bring on fatigue, hives, asthma, and high blood pressure. Oh yeah, worry can bring on high blood pressure, can it? And so the effects of worry, they're bad and not getting better. Another thing, it robs us of joy and happiness and peace. Anxiety and worry robs us of joy. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. It's interesting that our English word worry comes from a very old, ancient, Middle English word called worryone or worryin, which means to strangle. Isn't that something? Our word worry really has its roots in to strangle. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There was someone that they had a disease. I don't want to say and then be totally wrong. There was someone that had a disease, and part of their not cure. I don't think they cured the disease, but they got it to a point where he was able to have a lot better life than what he was having. But somebody, I guess maybe a family member, brought in a ton load of Three Stooges tapes. And so this person was laying there in the hospital, and like the Three Stooges, I guess, and I think we're all acquainted with Three Stooges. I don't know, maybe the younger people here aren't, but because of that joy and laughter that person was experiencing, his ability to fight this disease and recuperate at least for a little bit, the doctors believe was because of the joy and happiness that person was experiencing. Wow. It goes right back to Proverbs, doesn't it? Yes, I know I look like Curly. The effects of worry can prohibit our prayers from being answered. We must ask in faith. Turn over to the book of James. James chapter 1. Verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. In Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. If we're a person that has that high level of anxiety and high level of worry, our prayers might not be answered. Is that serious? Turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. What's being choked out here? The Word of God. Worry and anxiety can choke out the Word of God. Americans spend $1.72 billion a year on antidepressants. $1.72 billion a year. How to conquer it really quick, because I know the bell's going to get us. Make up your mind that you will conquer it. That's easier said than done, right, Dan? Okay. Form the right relationship with God. Have that relationship with God that you need to have. Develop the right attitude of mind. Look for the positive. Count your blessings. This is a key one. Do not manufacture things to worry about. Dan, do not manufacture things to worry about.
Do we have the ability to do that? Yeah. Now listen, I bet there's somebody in the audience right now that's saying, what is he talking about? I don't do that. And then there's somebody else that's just nodding their head saying, yeah, I do that all the time. Manufacture things to worry about. Do your best and then turn it over to God, because God created you. And if we can do those things, we should be able to at least partially defeat this anxiety and worry problem. In Matthew 6, chapter 11, give us this day our daily bread. Live day to day. The best way to prepare for tomorrow is to fulfill the duties of today, someone said. Do you do what you can to fulfill the duties of the day? If you do that, you probably don't have time to worry about tomorrow. We're almost finished. Cultivate a realistic trust in God and His promises, and transfer your care to more worthy objects. Transfer your care to more worthy objects. And above all, if you have anxiety and worry problems, pray. All right. Thank you very much.